Lifeway Leadership Podcast Network.
You're listening to the newchurches.com Q&A podcast. New Churches is an online hub for the mission of church multiplication.
Today and every day.
Resources and training you need to get started, as well as a community of church planting and multi-site experts to help you thrive. My name is Daniel Lim, and I'm here with Todd Adkins.
What?
All right, Todd. So here's the question. You ready for it?
I'm ready.
We're jumping straight into it.
Give it to me.
All right. Next year, we're launching a campus, but we don't know where to do it. All right. So there it is. That's the question.
Next year, we're
launching a campus. I'll do it in a different voice. Next year, we're launching a campus and we don't know where to do it.
Is this from an Australian listener?
Yeah. I try to do the Australian accent, but I always fail. But at least I can add a mate at the end of it, right? So what should our what should our next steps be, mate?
Man, it goes down to demographics, in my opinion, both internal and external demographics. Who do I have? First of all, why do I want to do a campus? If you can't answer that question in a compelling way, then don't do it. Is it it's got to be to reach more people for Jesus, either strategic. These people in this area need Jesus and we think we're the people to take it there. Or, this is a situation where we're overcrowded and we need to make more room for people who need to know Jesus. So it's one of those two things. Then after that, it's demographics. It's who do I have internally? Where do they live? Where are they serving? And then externally, what does this area need? Like I can't, if the area has demographically, if people have a lot of children there, then I have to make sure I have room for children's. And if not, if they don't have a lot of children, then it gives me a lot more options.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So internally, you need to draw a heat map around the city that you're in, around that radius where you're looking at, okay, how many people do we have in this particular area? But even if you're trying to figure out where to launch the campus, try to do the heat map around your city and see, okay, how many people do we have in each particular area? How many volunteers do we have living in each of those areas? How many leaders do we have? If you have the data broken down by your leadership pipeline, volunteers, leaders, coaches, ministry directors, senior leaders, that's even better so that you have that type of picture. But also look at the giving, right? So look at, okay, how many people do you have in this area who give more than $200? How many in a year, and how many people do you have in this area that give less than $200? How many lapsed givers do you have in each of the areas as well? What you're trying to do is you're trying to measure engagement, right? So it's not just a simple, okay, is this area growing in the city and how many people do we have, right? You need to be able to go deeper into the data to see the level of engagement you have in each of these areas. Because yes, I know in Romans, we talk about obviously going and starting new works and reaching lost and declaring Jesus in a place where Jesus has not been declared, right? And a lot of times we think about that in regards to mission. But when you think about your city, I mean, the world has come mostly, I mean, I guess it depends on where you live, but predominantly the world is coming to you, right? The world is coming to you. So yes, you may not have an unevangelized area, but you want to know, okay, where is there gospel need in your city? Here's another thing. How many gospel preaching churches are there in that area, right? It's not just a matter of saying how many churches are there, but how many churches are evangelistic, are faithful to the gospel. So you want to have a really good picture internally, but also externally. What are some of those external, when you look at the census and other data points, what are some of those external points that you want to look for, Todd?
Well, yeah. I mean, if there was a Bible-believing preaching church nearby, we would not go to that location. Mm. So I remember finding a perfect location on Capitol Hill. It was a church that was for sale. And I walked four blocks and was at Cap App. And I was like, no way. You know, we're not going to go here. We're not going to do this. But it was so Oh, amazing. Anyway, I digress. Yeah. So again, as Daniel said, when you look at those numbers, you're looking at, you know, nickels and noses. You don't have to look at the individual person. You're just looking for that engagement, but you're also trying to figure out from a budgeting perspective, am I going to be able to pull this off? Because don't make the mistake of not accounting for double accounting money, meaning if someone's giving presently at your existing location, if they move to the new location, they're going to be giving there, not back at the main location. So we have a tendency to not make the proper adjustments when budgeting as well. So all that's super important. And I say all of this from experience where I've made these mistakes before.
Yeah. Yeah. So, yeah. So when you're looking at that, yeah, you need to look at percentage of growth in that area that you're going to and in the different areas, right? Percentage of growth.
Right.
Because what the percentage of growth is going to tell you is, is the trajectory of that area. And typically if the percentage of growth is high from last census to this census or whichever other data points you're using, that's going to show you, okay, then there's probably going to be a greater need for a church. And people in new areas are more likely going to, you know, there's a higher likelihood that they're going to check out the new church that is coming in that area.
The other thing I was going to say, because I didn't really answer your question. sorry. The other thing I was going to say is that if you look at, you're looking for communities and areas that have a lot of new construction in particular, because there may be a church that's, you know, a mile or two away. But if you've got a major subdivision coming in or subdivisions in some cases around Nashville where you're just like, wow, you know, I've been here for 6-7 years now and I'm now driving by places saying, oh, I remember when that was farmland and now there are 380 some homes in there, which represents a lot of people. And so it is also looking at planning, both what's currently, you know, who's moving dirt right now, but also you can check in again with your county and look at where things are growing. The other thing, again, for probably the 12th time, I'm going to say it to y'all, do it, but getting engaged with your local business, making sure that you are connected to the local business people, developers, real estate people are very valuable. You have to watch the whole real estate thing inside church because it can get really sketchy really fast because odds are you have several real estate agents in your church of varying degrees of expertise and competency.
Yeah, that's good. All right. So before we get into budgeting and staffing, let's just hear a quick word from our sponsor and we'll be right back. Every church must be equipped to respond well in the initial stages of learning about instances of sexual, physical, or emotional abuse. That's why the Southern Baptist Convention, Lifeway, and the ERLC partnered together to create Becoming a Church That Cares Well for the Abused. This training curriculum of a handbook and 13 videos brings together top experts from various fields to help volunteers and leaders understand and implement the best practices for handling the variety of abuse scenarios at a church, school, or ministry. You can access this free training at churchcares.com. Once again, that's churchcares.com. All right, so Todd, what would you recommend for budget during this first year of research and trying to gather that launch team and getting prepped for that launch?
Well, I mean, really, it's a question of how much money you have.
Yeah, okay.
And it's a question of how much, like, what do you think the campus is ultimately going to do? I mean, there are some campuses that we knew strategically we want to go to this place. We know that the per capita giving is not going to be, you know, what it is at our main campus. It just won't be, just due to demographics, we can tell. But on top of that, it would also be, hey, when I'm budgeting for staffing and when I'm budgeting for ministry, it's important to consider what are the main things that we're going to be doing here. So that's going to be your Sunday service. That's going to be small groups or Sunday school classes, depending on what your campus is like and mm-hmm. what your just philosophical bent is.
Yeah.
And beyond that, it's, am I going to have a full-time person or a part-time person? Is this going to be volunteer? All those things are consideration. But again, I think it goes all the way back to the first part of the conversation in accurately accounting for nickels and noses of your existing flock, as well as the people that you're trying to reach.
Hmm. What do you think, though, about this trend toward, obviously, a lot of churches that are doing multi-site have at least, or traditionally, have at least one campus that's pretty big. And then they're like, okay, we got to do campus here, campus there. And what do you think about a church that's running a few thousand at the mothership and them launching campuses of 100, campuses of 200, rather than the whole idea, you know, and doing multiple of those, right, rather than, okay, we're only going to launch a campus if it's 1,000 people and that massive launch,
right,
that large launch strategy.
That first, okay, so I can remember the first couple we did were large campuses. Mm-hmm. And we were like, oh, we're not going to go anywhere where we can't fit at least 500 people. Mm-hmm. And then I put together a one pager on a micro campus,
yep,
strategy, which for some people, they would, you know, throw things at me because it was like 200.
Which is like, you know, double the size of the average church. So,
exactly. But this was a different, you know, time, and it's McLean. So it's crazy there. But the big thing was understanding that you can put that campus into play for a lot less money, a lot less risk. You can put more people into play if you've got a lot of young leaders there. And if it grows, awesome. That's a great problem to have. And you can either start additional smaller campuses or roll those into one. So there were two smaller campuses that McLean did that, mm-hmm, are now one. It was Silver Spring and Roz. I can't remember the name of it. But now it's MoCo. Those two campuses eventually rolled into one larger campus.
Yeah. So, but let's say you did do this micro campus of 200, what would your staffing look like?
People aren't going to like this, that I always went in really lean. Mm-hmm. So I would go in with two people, that were, you know, full time.
Yeah.
And then everything else would be either volunteer or contracted. So like a worship leader was not a full-time spot for me. Mm-hmm. And very few, by the end of it, almost none of our worship leaders were, that was their full-time gig. They either had something that in addition that they were doing, at the church, or they were part-time.
But how did you deal with the whole tech and lighting and all that then? So you're saying that the part-time worship leader led worship, developed worship teams, and
those were their volunteer or contracted positions.
Yeah. Okay. Gotcha.
So set up, tear down, all that stuff.
Yeah. Okay. But for a part-time worship leader, would you have them be in charge of all of that, or it was just music,
yeah,
and lighting and sound?
No. It was primarily music.
Yeah.
Okay. And then a different person was doing the other thing. I mean, we had the luxury too of having a very large production team. Mm-hmm. And so you were able to bust those guys up, and it wasn't their full-time gig because we had services at one time every day but Friday. So we were, you know, it would be a Monday night service over here, and then so on and so forth. I'm just saying we had a lot of people to spread out. Mm-hmm. So it wasn't, for us, it was easier because it wasn't their full-time thing.
Yeah.
It was just a small part in some cases. Of what they did. But that's the beauty of campuses is there's a big balance between having strong central and support services, and then sometimes over the course of time, those can drift into, oh, I'm spending more money on service and support than I am on ministry. But when it's done well, it's really effective. You get a very big bang for your buck, because it's not everybody's doing their own graphics. It's no, everybody uses this graphic. It's a lot easier to scale. But again, yeah, you're talking to, I mean, our listeners know my personality type and all of that. So I'm looking for efficiency and I'm looking for scale. And so that's different than starting a campus, because yeah, I'm trying to start campuses.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. Yeah. Scalability has to be on the top of the mind for you when you're starting campuses, while also understanding that, hey, yes, you are starting campuses, but there is this transition period where you need to ramp up to that, right? So yeah, if you have two campuses or three campuses, don't operate like you have 10, even though you want to get to 10, because you have to still operate in the reality of today.
So I would say, too, don't spend more money on staffing than you do on ministry. Yeah. Because once that part of your budget gets over 50%, it's really, really, really hard and really painful and difficult to roll it back. And keep in mind that, you know, healthcare costs and everything go up every year. So you might be fine sitting at 40-something% right now. And in 3 years, you're like, how did this happen? I'm at 58%. You have to be super careful.
Okay, that's a really good point. Thanks again for listening into the New Churches podcast. And be sure to tune in next time as we continue our march on to, what, 450? Episode 500?
Yeah.
Coming up soon. So, all right, thanks again.